I reconvene the August 25th meeting of the commission. We've made it to agenda item number 10, the offenders portion. First case of the commission will hear will be Mr. Robert Boas. Is Mr. Boas in the room? Please come forward, sir. Mr. Smino.
Give it a brief introduction. Brief introduction, and then I'll allow law enforcement to present the case. Mr. Robert Boas is a permitted recreational harvester and was convicted on May 13, 2015 for harvesting oysters during a closed season. You see the conviction here before you, the date of the offense, and the conviction was on May 13th of this year. The guidelines from our matrix would recommend that this be brought before the commission after just one conviction within a 12-month period. So with that, I'll allow the officer to present the case.
I'm here on Officer Kalinich's behalf.
You hereby swear the testimony we'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got. Please state your name for the record, Mr. Green.
Jamie Green, Middle Area Captain for the Virginia Marine Police. On April 3rd, 2015, Officer Kalinich was on routine patrol in the Braze Point area of the Severn River and observed a man picking up oysters and placing them in a five-gallon bucket. Officer Kalinich made contact with the individual, identified him as Mr. Robert B. Boas, and asked him what he was doing, and Boas said he was picking up oysters. The officer advised Mr. Boas that he was harvesting oysters in a closed area, and Mr. Boas stated then at that point to the officer that he was allowed one bushel for personal use, and he could pick oysters up in the months that had the letter R in it. MPO Kalinich issued Mr. Boas a Virginia uniform summons for harvesting oysters during a closed season and released him on his signature.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Captain Green. Mr. Boas, would you please approach the microphone? Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Boas, what can you tell us about this?
Well, I walked up to the VMRC officer and showed him what I had. He didn't catch me. I was showing him I didn't have no oysters under 3 inches. I thought you could. It's been 20 years since I had a license because I've been sick with my kidneys and all. So I thought I was still every month with R. So I approached him and was going to show him my oysters, that every one of them was over 3 inches long. He was sitting in the truck. He wasn't paying no attention where I was at. If I was doing something wrong, I could have just thrown him in the bushes and went on down the street. I had no intentions of doing anything wrong. So.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Smino, what's the staff recommendation?
Was there a question?
Yeah, I had a question.
Mr. Tanker.
Were your wishes for individual use, or are you planning on selling?
Myself, sir. It was my birthday coming up. I just got my license 2 days before that. I haven't had a license in 20 years. I had to go down there with my two kids because they didn't want me down there by myself. If I knew it was against the law, then I would have never done it. And I already paid $150 for something stupid. In my opinion.
Mr. Smino.
Commissioner, before I read the staff recommendation, I'll just like to remind the commission that the law enforcement subcommittee that was developed and the matrix that staff uses for these recommendations, a lot went into that matrix as far as it was run by all the advisory panels to the commission, and those advisory panels wanted to make it clear that that these violations wouldn't just be held to commercial harvesters, but the recreational fishery as well. So with that, I'll read the staff's recommendation. The commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation. So in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Boas' licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, August 25, 2015, through August 24, 2016. Staff also recommends that the commission revoke all of Mr. Boas' fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year.
Mr. Boas. The commission and the staff take this particular offense very seriously for this real simple regard, is that oysters, if they're not harvested at the appropriate time of the year and not handled correctly, can be dangerous. We don't want anybody getting sick from these, and people that have compromised immune systems could end up dying from a tainted oyster. So we're serious about this issue. But I noticed you were shaking your head at the idea of a one-year license revocation. Would you like... Why don't you approach the microphone and tell the commission what you think about the possibility of a one-year license revocation?
Well, you might as well go ahead and take them. Everybody else is against me and everything. Just take them.
Matters before the commission.
Mr. Commissioner.
Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Boas, it says here that this was this... You had personal service of a letter of your violation of 28.2-232, and you refused to sign that. Could you tell me why?
I feel like you're bothering me for something simple, something that I didn't really mean to do. You know what I'm saying? Because if it was against the law, I'd have never done it. 20 years ago, I was a waterman. And you can check my record. There's nothing on it. I crabbed and I fished. I never got a ticket for... I did get one ticket for setting a gill net past the channel markers.
Well, the matter's before the commission. Mr. Tankard.
The law's the law. I don't think we can circumvent our own laws. I'd move to revoke the license for a year.
It's a motion by Mr. Tankard. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Is there any discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. Mr. Boas, the motion passed unanimously, and in fact, your license and tidal fishing privileges are revoked for a year from today. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Mr. Gregory Parks.
Gregory Parks has three violations for the commission. Two of these violations that occurred on, 11/29/2014, those violations are what are bringing Mr. Parks before the commission. Each of the two offenses on that date would result in the recommendation of one conviction being brought before the commission. And I do want to note that the case for Mr. Edwin A. Cooper occurred on the same day. It was the same violations. So I'll allow the officer to come up, and again, he'd be speaking to both of those cases.
Do you swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God? Please state your name for the record.
Officer Pruitt, Richard W. Pruitt.
Officer Pruitt, what can you tell us about this?
This date occurred on November the 29th, 2014, in Tangier Island. Had the opportunity to get up with Mr. Gregory Parts and Edwin Cooper at his home, which is in Tangier. And when I arrived, I observed three quarters of a basket of oysters. I asked Mr. Gregory Parks where he had harvested the oysters. They told me that himself and Mr. Cooper had harvested the oysters alongside the shoreside in Tangier Island. I advised Officer Parks that it was illegal to pick up oysters in a condemned area. And it was also a closed season. Mr. Parks said to me that he did not know and he was not aware that there was any signs or, you know, that it was marked condemned. So I advised Gregory Parks to return the oysters to the water. I, at that time, departed and went and got the warrants for Mr. Gregory Parks and Edwin Cooper. And do you want me to give you the charges under regulation?
Yes, please.
Okay. Gregory Parks was charged with Regulation 4, VAC 20, 720-40, taking oysters during closed season. He was found guilty in Accomack Court with a fine of $1,100, suspended $1,000, 30 days in jail, and suspended. The second charge was VA 2-282-810, taking oysters in a condemned area. He was found guilty with a fine of $1,250, suspended $1,000, 34 days in jail, suspended 30, and a three-year probation. That was for both Mr. Cooper and Gregory.
Any questions from the commission on this?
Question.
Mr. Packard.
Signage. Was there any signage that would indicate that the area was, in fact, closed?
Yes, the signs were posted.
And you observed them?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are there unrelated charges brought by Officer Fitchett?
I haven't.
You do? Please come forward. Do you hereby swear the testimony you're about to give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the true self you got?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Name is Thomas K. Fitchett. This offense occurred on November 4, 2014, Accomack County, off of Sachs's rock called Shell Rock. Officer Andy Dutton and I were patrolling that area checking Arster dredge boats this day. We noticed a boat break away from the fleet that was working, head towards Virginia Maryland line. We went after the boat, pulled alongside. Captain Gregory Parks was the operator. As we were approaching the boat, pulling alongside, he was cussing at his mate. Seemed to be very upset with his mate, saying that his mate miscounted the oysters. Officer Dutton was up on the washboard, and he looked at me and said, "They are two over." I did the actual boarding and also counted 18 bushels. They were allowed 16. Both of them were licensed, and they had two over. The original court date was set for February the 4th. Mr. Parks continued it. Second court date was March the 4th. He continued that one. He failed to show on April the 8th and was found guilty. The charge was 4VAC 20-720-80, Section A. He was given a $100 fine and $81 court costs.
Any questions of Officer Fitchett? Thank you, sir. Mr. Parks, please raise your right hand. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Gregory W. Parks, Jr.
Mr. Parks, this is your opportunity to tell the board what happened and to tell them whatever you think they should know.
Well, everything he says is the truth, and I did admit, he did miscount today that I had 18 bushels. I thought we had 16, which it's my fault. I should have got up front and counted them before I left, and I didn't. That's my fault. And there on the oysters, where we got them oysters, we weren't going to sell them. We were shucking a few to eat. And there were no signs in that particular area, but they are around the island, and I did not know. It's a simple misunderstanding. I served 2 days in jail for it, and I got a lot of fines to pay. I got a family. If you take my license, I'll lose everything I got. I just hope you all take it in consideration. Just give me one chance. That's all I ask.
The question's Mr. Parks. My quick question is this, Mr. Parks, do you understand the seriousness?
Yes, sir, I do.
You've heard what I said about oysters from a condemned area.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You hear that loud and clear?
I sure did.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Cimino. What is the staff recommendation?
The commission's guidelines, again, for these sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season and also one conviction of harvesting oysters from a condemned area, each would carry the result of a recommendation of 1 year revocation. So in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Parks' licenses to catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, August 25th, 2015, through August 24th, 2016. Staff also recommends the commission revoke Mr. Parks' fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, August 25th, 2015, through August 24th, 2016.
Mr. Parks, you just heard the staff recommendation of a year of revocation of all your licenses and your tidal fishing privileges. You just heard the staff recommendation your license be revoked for a year as well as your tidal fishing privileges. You would be off the water. You get a last chance to tell the commission what you think about that and what you wish they would do.
I wish you'd put me on probation. I'll go walk a straight line. All I can do is say give me one chance is all I can ask. I ain't got no other. I've been out of school since I was 10. This is the only thing I know. I just hope you all give me one chance.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Parks, have you had, prior to these three issues, have you had any issues in the past?
I've had tickets before, but not this many. One time.
And tickets for similar type violations, or were they?
No, so one was for smaller oysters at one town. I guess it was a couple of years ago. Matter of fact, I think Mr. Pruitt won. It's been a couple of years ago.
Okay, thank you.
I'll note for the record here the conviction history includes 2013 possession of uncalled oysters, 2012 no oyster dredge license, 2008 obstructed coal rings in your crab pots. There's a peeler pot violation in 2004 along with the 2004 crabbing without a license, 2002 peeler pot violation, 2000 possession of hard crabs on a crab scrape boat. And he had a littering charge back in 1998, but I'm not much concerned about that.
The only license I hold now is for oyster, and that's it. That's all I got.
All matters before the commission. Mr. France.
Yes, Mr. Parks. What are you doing now in the water? Are you working on the water now?
Working the stern with somebody. Fish pods, you know, the mountain. I just work for another man. The old eastern starts at Bill Hyman.
Miss Haney.
Is there maximum probation still 2 years, or has that changed now?
The current law states that the commission has the discretion to issue a license sanction for up to 5 years.
All these offenses took place before that took effect.
I stand corrected. Matt Hull, the counselor, is exactly right. These offenses occurred before the new law took effect July 1st. So, I stand corrected. The maximum sanction can be up to 2 years, either probation, revocation, or a combination thereof. Mr. Tankard.
Could I talk to ask Mr. Pruitt a quick, Officer Pruitt a question, please? In the demeanor of Mr. Parks when you had to confront him on the oyster issue, is he do you sense a person who has some understanding of what's going on, belligerent? What's the?
I've never had no trouble with Mr. Parks. I mean, you know, as far as any confrontation, I mean, you know, he hates to get a ticket, which most people do. I mean, you know, but you know, as far as that goes, no.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Zedron.
Yeah, we see a lot of these, and this is probably the biggest fine I've seen in a while. He's got a $1,250 fine on one of these, 34 days in jail with 30 suspended, 3 years probation, would indicate to me that the court, number one, understood the gravity of the offense, and number two, has put him on terms that if he comes back in there with another violation, that he can spend the other 30 days in jail and pay the other $1,000, not to mention the other convictions and theirs. But what stuck out to me is that why this case is a little bit different, although I'm not one for guys taking oysters from condemned areas, I can tell you that, because you're risking everybody out in that audience, you know, by doing that, including yourself. And so, in light of that disposition in the court and him being on 3 years probation, how'd you like those 2 days in jail, by the way?
Not at all.
And was that your first experience of that?
Second. I had spent 5 days, I guess 10 years ago.
That was a good refresher, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right. In light of that, I would move that we not accept staff recommendation, but place him on probation for a period of 2 years for these offenses because of that.
I second that.
Motion by Mr. Zedron, and second by Ms. Haney.
Yes.
Minor. Before I do.
Okay. Second by Mr. Minor. Some discussion on that. Mr. Erskine.
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, the motion. I'm not suggesting that it's out of line, but, you know, the condemned area is really problematic for jeopardizing the reputation of the Virginia industry as well as, you know, public health. So that is a big concern. I guess my only comment is you have these convictions as well as some prior convictions, and it seems to be some crab issues, which maybe you're not in that fishery anymore, but I don't understand, you know, what this commission's supposed to do. It puts us in a very difficult position to have you come before us and say staff is recommending a one-year revocation, and it's difficult for us to recommend taking a license, taking your livelihood away from you. That's nothing we want to enter into lightly, but it puts us in a very difficult position. So I'm not disagreeing with the motion, but it's very difficult for us to make that decision.
Mr. Ballard.
I concur with Mr. Erskine's sentiments. I would like to remind everybody that we've got a proposal a couple agenda items away to eliminate some 200 licenses of perfectly law-abiding members of the fishery. I have trouble not revoking a license from someone who's not staying within the rules.
Let me add my 2 cents worth. I'm persuaded less about what the court's decision was from the criminal offense before us is the administrative license matter. Mr. Parks here does have a not insignificant history of violations, and to me these violations were substantial. In the case of harvesting in a condemned area, I consider that to be a pretty egregious thing, and that does risk so many other people, and it risks the entire industry's reputation, I would not be able to support a probationary period for this. I am persuaded by Mr. Ballard's very cogent argument here that there's no end of people here that want to participate lawfully in the oyster fishery. Any other comments or suggestions from the commission? We have a motion. Mr. Erskine.
I appreciate all the comments that, you know, have been made, and I do think this is a serious issue, like I said before. I wonder if there may be an opportunity for, in light of what the court did as well, I understand that there would be a friendly amendment of a six-month revocation and a two-year probation period.
Well, that's an amendment I would second.
We need a clarification in that our license duration administrative sanction authority is limited to a total of 2 years, so it would have to be a six-month revocation followed by a year and a half of probation, if that's what you intend.
That's a friendly amendment.
And I second it.
Mr. Zedernick seconds it. Does Mr. Miner, as the seconder of the original motion, accept the friendly amendment?
Yes.
So now we have an amended motion here of a revocation period of 6 months followed by a year and a half of probation for Mr. Parks. Not for 6 months if this motion passes, sir. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion does pass unanimously. Mr. Parks, your license and title fishing privileges are revoked for 6 months, followed by a year and a half of probation. Mr. Edwin Cooper.
Again, Commissioner, as I said, the convictions that brought Mr. Cooper before you were during the same event that Officer Haney presented for Mr. Parks.
Mr. Pruitt. Officer, please get this on the record, please. What happened? What was the code violation? What was his demeanor?
The code violation for this offense was Regulation 4, BAC 20, 720, 40. It was taking oysters in a closed season, and Mr. Cooper's fine was $1,100, suspended $1,000, and 30 days in jail, all suspended. Second offense was VA code 2282810, taking oysters in a condemned area, which was found guilty with a fine of $1,250, suspended $1,000, 34 days in jail, suspended 30, and a three-year probation.
Any questions to Officer Pruitt? Any other charges? That's it?
Yeah, I have a...
Mr. Neal.
What was his demeanor at the time?
I had no problem. He was just explaining to me that he had been, you know, done that some years, and, you know, he just thought there was nothing to it.
And we have
picking up a few. Sometimes, you know, it just what he was explaining to me, he just picked up just a hand, you know, sometimes just enough to eat. That was basically what he was saying, and, you know. He just said he was on a wire. You know, just reminded him of our, you know, signs posted.
The signs were posted.
Yes, sir. You know, I saw it. We were supposed to.
Any other questions from the commission?
Yeah.
Mr. Neal.
We have a previous conviction of assault and battery of you.
That was non. That was assistant to town PD. That was nothing to do with, you know, any seafood. It was. Happened in town.
Was not a natural resources violation or associated with it.
Right.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions to the officer? Mr. Cooper, please step forward to the microphone and raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
My name is
Cooper.
Mr. Cooper, what do you need the commission to know here, and what do you want to explain about all this?
I mean, I just thought we're picking up some oyster deed. I didn't know it was no Howerman. I didn't. If I knew that, I'd never done it. I don't have no prior tickets or nothing like that. I didn't know. I mean, I got 5 kids to support. If I lose my license, I'm at it. It's just, I didn't understand. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me out in the boat and pick this. We'd done this all the time. I come up like this. My dad's dead and gone. Now I'm doing this.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I made a mistake, yeah. But I was raised like this, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know it was against the law. If I knew it, I would have never done it.
What did you think the condemned signs meant?
Well, we can't consider where you're coming in to create. They're up, like you said, but in that little area where we're at, there were no signs there, but there's signs all over the place. We didn't pay stuff like that a lot of money. I mean, we go out in boats every day and catch fish, and, you know, every day we probably make simple mistakes every day. I was raised like this. That's our life. That's all it is. We don't go carpenting and building, and we don't drive trucks. That's all we have. We have nothing else.
Questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Mr. Cimino. What is the staff recommendation?
I'll read this in for the record. The commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation, and one conviction of harvesting oysters from a condemned area within a 12-month period should also result in at least a one-year revocation. Staff recommendation in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Cooper's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, August 25, 2015, through August 24, 2016. Staff also recommends the commission revoke Mr. Cooper's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, August 25th, 2015, through August 24th, 2016.
You've heard the staff recommendation. The matter is before the commission. Mr. Zedrin.
I just learned something, and maybe I was wrong on the last case. You know, if the attitude out there is, this is our life, this is our industry, and I don't care what your rules are, if we're going to go out there and harvest whatever they're going to harvest, and I really don't care what you guys think. I mean, that's what I heard, and that disturbs me, because I really got to keep going back to these condemned oysters. That concerns me, and I know concerns this board and concerns the industry out there, and maybe what Mr. Ballard has got a lot of credence to what he says here. You know, a little bit from now, we'll be taking up some issues of taking licenses from people who never had any convictions, and so I think this is different than the last case. I heard something different here, and I think we got to send a message out there. It's not your industry. It's not your resource. It's the people of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I think it's our obligation to make sure that these condemned oysters don't hit the street. And we got to send a message out there saying it's not yours anymore. This is the Commonwealth of Virginia, and everybody's got to respect what the rules are. And that's where I was coming from with the last case, with the probation from the court. Of course, this guy's got the same probation, and he got a big fine and everything like that. But if you got an attitude about, well, you know, I don't care what you guys say, or I don't care if I get convicted, I'm going to go back out there and do it again. And that means a lot to me. I mean, you know, I've tried a lot of cases, and attitude is right up there at the top of the line. And the last case, what I was trying to say is with the probation from the court and the 30 days, that gave him an incentive to be a good person and get back out there. But with this kind of attitude about, well, I'm just going to get back out there and do it, I don't agree with the same thing. And so when come time, I'm going to ask for staff recommendation approval here. And the other thing I'd like to bring out here is that You know, if we look at what the staff recommendation is, it's really not 1 year. It's 1 year for each offense. And you know, we can run that concurrent or consecutive. And so you're looking at 2 years, but they're only recommending a revocation of 1 year, is the way I understand that. That's my 2 cents.
Any other comments, observations, musings from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
My only comment is I understand it from the testimony presented by both Mr. Cooper and Mr. Pruitt, Officer Pruitt, I should say, was the fact that this was these were oysters for recreational use. There wasn't a sign. There's no attempt to sell these, market these. And you saw nothing that would lead you to believe that.
Personal use,
yeah. So I think that in that context, I agree with Mr. Ballard. I mean, you can't afford, the industry, I don't think, can afford to have operators out there that are compromising public health because it's bad for the industry and bad for the public. But when you're using condemned oysters for yourself, maybe it's a bit of a different story. I'd like to hear anyone else's thoughts on that.
My thought would be continuity and the degree of uniformity here.
Yes.
Mr. Parks's offense were in some ways a little bit more egregious.
Yes.
That's my observation.
I agree with that.
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Cooper, how long have you been oystering?
Off and on all my life. I've been all up to bay oystering. Like I said, it's first time. I would never do this again. Believe me, it was a mistake made. Like I said, my dad carried me out when I was a little boy. Picked oysters up, carried them out, shucked them, and ate them. I only knew what I was taught. I didn't do this against nobody. I only knew what I was taught from a kid. That's what I was trying to say. I don't do this every day. I'm not going to do that. That mistake's over. I know better now. It was an honest mistake. Like I said, I have 5 children to support. I got a little son. He's 2 years old, or he's 2 months old. I have 4 daughters. If I lose my license, like I said, there is nothing where we live but water. And I did. I made a mistake. It was honest. But I was, like I said, I was bought it from a child like that. And I didn't, Mr. Pruitt will tell you, I don't go out every day and do that. It was because we had been froze up. I just went to pick something up to eat. I mean, home, if you don't fly in the helicopter and we're frozen and bring our bread, we ain't got nothing to eat. It's totally different than living here.
Ms. Erskine.
So when you're out on the water oystering most of your life, do you know where the condemned and closed areas are?
No, I mean, like I said, we go around the shores and scoop crabs up and carry them home and eat them. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really pay a lot of money. How we're raised, Richie will tell you, what we catch out of the water, a lot of people don't think there's nothing wrong with it. And tell me if I'm wrong, Rich. Nobody hardly ever thinks there's anything wrong with the seafood where we come from. Everybody eats it every day.
Mr. Frantz. Mr. Cooper, did you approach this oyster bed by boat or by foot?
I walked down the shoreline. When I went right out my back door, went down the shoreline, picked a few up to eat. That was all. If I knew I was going to lose my livelihood, I would have never done it. Believe me. I didn't know that. I didn't expect that.
I have a question for the officer. If this is this oyster grind is approached by land, is there any way for a person to know that it's condemned?
I'm looking. Not from the land? No.
Thank you.
Like I said, it'll never happen again. That's it for me.
Well, matters before the commission. Mr. Tankard.
I would say in light of the evidence in the testimony we've heard today, approached by land, no history of prior violations, accommodating attitude to the officer. I think in this case we should go with a 2-year probation.
It's motion for 2 years of probation by Mr. Tankard.
Second.
From Mr. Minor. Any discussions on that?
Yeah.
Mr. Neal.
I'm hearing a very disturbing trend here, that we have a licensed commercial waterman that does not know the regulations. And so we've given this man a license to commercially harvest oysters for public consumption, but he doesn't know about closed seasons and condemned areas. There's a real disconnect here. And he's not the only one. I mean, if these guys are licensed watermen, they have to know the regulations. And they just can't keep coming up and say, I didn't know. It's their job to know. And so somewhere this has got to stop. And I don't know the answer to that. But we've got a commercial oysterman who does not know the condemned areas of his own home. How is that even possible? I mean, I know where the condemned areas of my home are, and I'm not a waterman, but I certainly know where they are. So anyway, those are my comments. This I don't know the rules. I do not think is an acceptable reason for a commercial waterman who's got to know the rules.
I would say that I personally agree with Mr. Neal on this. Mr. Cooper has been a waterman all his life. He lives on the water. He makes his living by the water here. Been oystering for a long time, been crabbing for a long time. How can you not know that the area right outside your door there is condemned because of fecal coliform?
The challenge is on that. I've just got to the creek, I guess, when you come in. I just never paid a lot of it. Like I said, my dad carried me to this when I was a kid. It was a mistake I learned. You know what I'm saying? That was my problem. I never knew that was against the law. Now I do. I can assure you it'll never happen again. That was, like I said, anything your parents teach you, you don't think you're doing wrong. That was my mistake. You know what I'm saying? I grew up, my dad went out, we went all kinds of places and picked up some oysters. That was my mistake. I watched and I learned.
Any other comments from the commission? We have a motion on the table. From Mr. Tankard, second by Mr. Miner, here for 2 years of probation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Can I see a show of hands, please? 2, 3, 4, 5. Noes?
No.
2, 3 noes. Chair votes no. It's 4 noes. The motion passes 5-4. Mr. Cooper, this is your lucky day. You're on 2 years of probation.
I'm very sorry. It'll never happen again.
Let me tell you this from the depth of my heart. I hope to never see you before this commission again. You might want to buy a lottery ticket. Mr. Donald Crockett.
See on the screen here, Commissioner, that Mr. Crockett had 3 separate violations, 3 separate convictions.
Within 1 second, Mr. Smitty. Keep the chit-chat to a minimum, please. Please proceed.
Yes, sorry. Mr. Crockett had 3 separate violations and 3 separate convictions within a 12-month period. So you won't be seeing the sanctions table that was created in 2013, this really goes back to an appearance before the commission based on the 1996 law enforcement when they established the three-peat rule where they thought it was egregious enough for an individual with 3 convictions within a 12-month period to appear before the commission. And I'll let the law enforcement officers present these cases.
Gentlemen, do you hereby swear that the testimony you will give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir, I do.
Please state your names for the record.
My name is William Franklin, a master officer in the northern area, and I believe on your overhead that you had up here, it was an incorrect thing about channel whelk. I believe that write-up is incorrect. I don't know if you want to back up to the previous frame or not. I saw that I had charged him with channel whelk. That's incorrect. I charged him with the crab pots in the sanctuary.
Yeah, it's here.
Yeah, it was just on the overhead up there that they displayed. Okay.
That was incorrect.
Yeah.
Officer Drummond on the
channel,
so
it was.
It
had our names
back. Yeah.
I understand.
But I'll go ahead if you like.
Yes, please.
This occurred on Monday, June the 2nd. I was in of 2014. I was on patrol in the Chesapeake Bay, in the crab sanctuary, outside of the Rappahannock River. I came upon a line of crab pots that belonged to Donald Crockett. From Tangier Island, and this location where these crab pots were is approximately 2 miles inside of the crab sanctuary, which would be east of the line that's running from Windmill Point down to Wolf Trap. Went ahead and caught up with Mr. Crockett that same morning. He was out there fishing crab pots, and I issued him a summons, and I believe Mr. Crockett prepaid that offense. He didn't make an appearance in court on a conviction prepaid.
Any questions for the crab pot sanctuary? Mr. Tankard?
Yes. In your estimation, how hard is it to make a foul up and be in the sanctuary? Is this a mistake, a possible mistake?
The crab sanctuary line that runs really in close shore at Great Wicomico, it runs Great Wicomico down through Windmill Point and then goes down the Wolf Trap. In that area of Windmill Point, it is in real close inshore. This was northeast of the Rappahannock River Light, which is pretty obvious when you're out there. You're in the crab sanctuary. That came in effect on runs from June to September 15th now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Officer. Officer Drummond.
I'm Officer Drummond, of course, Officer with Virginia Marine Police. First offense for uncalled channel whelk. Excuse me. Offense occurred on Saturday, May 10th, 2014, at approximately 14:10 hours in Northampton County. I was inspecting commercial crabbers at the Cape Charles Harbor, where I had the occasion to check the fishing vessel. Andrea Lynn, Donald Ed Crockett was identified as the owner of the boat and as one of the licensed commercial crabbers on board. That's Mr. Crockett standing to my left. I noticed several bushel baskets of channel whelk aboard Mr. Crockett's boat. One of these appeared to contain channel whelk under the required 5.5-inch size limit. I measured 23 channel whelk from that bushel, the U.S. standard bushel basket, and those 23 did measure under the 5.5-inch size limit. Regulation 4 BAC 20890-30 states it's illegal to possess more than 10 channel whelk per U.S. standard bushel, which measure less than 5.5 inches. Mr. Crockett, who was very cooperative, said they had eyeballed the channel whelk and had not used any type of measuring device to check them. As far as disposition, on July 22nd, 2014, Northampton County General District Court, Mr. Crockett was found guilty with a $100 fine and $121 court costs. The second offense that I was involved with was from December the 15th of 2014. This offense occurred, that was for a failure to tag oysters. This offense occurred on Monday, December the 15th, 2014, approximately 0920 hours in Accomack County. Officer Thomas Fitchett and I were on patrol in Pocomoke Sound checking oyster dredge boats. We watched two people on board the Andrea Lynn secure the dredge and washed down the boat, basically making sure they were finished working. The boat was stopped as we stopped the boat as it headed towards the Maryland, Virginia line. Donald Crockett was identified as the boat's owner, and he held the required license to oyster dredge. There was a second person on board that was also licensed to oyster dredge. Mr. Crockett said they did, in fact, have their limit of 8 bushels each of oysters, 16 bushels total. And they were headed for Crisfield, Maryland, where they were selling them. requested to see the shellfish harvester's tag as required by Regulation 4 VAC 20-1250-30. Mr. Crockett went inside the boat's cabin area and retrieved two shellfish tags, which had not been filled out yet, so they were blank tags. He was issued a summons for 4 VAC 20-1250-30, failing to tag his oysters. We did allow him to complete shellfish tags while we were on scene and did not dump his oysters, did not return them to the water. Incidentally, Officer Fitchett issued the second gentleman on board a ticket for the same offense. Attorney Tom Northam represented Mr. Crockett on this offense with an original court date of February the 4th, 2015. Mr. Northam continued the court date to March the 11th of 2015 and continued it again until April the 8th of 2015. Donald Crockett appeared with his attorney in the Accomack County General District Court and was found guilty of failing to tag his oysters by Judge Gordon Vincent. He received a $35 fine plus court costs. On April the 14th of 2015, Mr. Crockett appealed his conviction to the Accomack County Circuit Court but withdrew that appeal on May the 15th of 2015. So the $35 fine was upheld.
Questions of Officer Drummond? Mr. Zedrin.
When is that tag required to be filled out?
Before they leave the place of harvest.
Okay, so that's in the water.
And that was one of the reasons when we were watching the boats, we wanted to make sure they were, in fact, finished oystering, that they did, in fact, have their limit, and, you know, that they had finished harvesting for the day. And they were actually, like I said, en route to Crisfield when we stopped them. Some of the guys up there sell their oysters. They'll take them into Crisfield, while others will bring them back to Saxis Harbor.
Any other questions? Thank you, Officer. Dr. Wessing, can I ask one quick question to you for the benefit of the Commission? What is the reason to tag the oysters?
For safety, for make sure we can track the oysters all the way back to the where they're caught. Tag stays with them all the way to the end consumer.
Is this important to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration?
Absolutely. We're required to do that by the FDA and the our own Department of Shellfish Sanitation.
This benefits the industry.
Absolutely.
Mr. Crockett. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Donald Crockett.
Mr. Crockett, what can you tell us about all this, these events from May of 2014, June of 2014, and December of 2014?
Well, sir, the channel whelks, I had recently picked up a new mate. It was the first time he was with me. When you're working off Tangier, there's not many conks yet. So, you know, he had just started with me. He had been working home for a while. And when he was with me, he thought the conks were 5 inches, just like the blue crab jimmies. So he was thinking they were 5 inches instead of 5.5. I didn't check. I just gave him the benefit of the doubt. Officer Drummond called and exactly what he said. On the sanctuary ticket, it was on the western shore. It just seems like, I think Mr. Tanker brought up, it's pretty easy to make a mistake, it seems like, on the western shore because the line does a lot of zigzagging. On the eastern shore, you have the red and green nunbuoys, and as long as you're inside of them, you're pretty much okay. And like the officer was saying, when it gets around Windmill Point, it really goes in close to the bank, whereas you could be up near Smith Point Light or down below Wolf Trap or New Point, and you would be fine in that same amount of water. So I pretty much assumed I was okay being there. And on the tag, I feel that we were still in the area. I know I weren't. I mean, I kind of got found guilty because I had took up my dredge and had began moving towards Crisfield, and the judge felt like I should have had it filled out right then and there where, I mean, I probably would have run into a boat. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the way we dredge. It's very, very close quarters, and I weren't going to risk getting hit. He did allow me enough time. I agree with that, but I still feel that I was in the area. I mean, if you look on the VMRC webpage at Area 2, it has a map. I was well within that area. And we were allowed to put Area 2 on our tags. And, I mean, just last year before, and I believe even the year before that, as long as the tag was filled out before the buyer, everything was fine. Because it even says time landed. So time landed to me is when the oysters hit the dock. My tags are filled out when I go to the bar. And, I mean, after that, you know, I was just used to doing it by then. So, you know, I should have had it filled out then. I'm not making excuses, but I feel I did have it filled out in the area. It just wasn't when I immediately got done. I did see Officer Drummond in the area. I knew he was going to be checking me, so I stayed outside. I washed up the boat and never went inside and and filled out the tag. I was assuming he was going to be checking my oysters, which I weren't worried about. I was fine with that, and I forgot to fill it out. But I felt like I was still in the area.
Questions from the commission, Mr. Crockett. Mr. Tankard.
How long have you been oystering, Mr. Crockett?
I've probably been dredging 10 years, and I would like to add I have no convictions on oystering, I don't believe. And I believe I have a pretty good track record. I've had my license when I got out of the Marines in 1997. I've had my card for 18 years. I'm a full-time commercial fisherman. I've been a captain since 2001, and I feel like I have a pretty clean record. I did kind of have a bad year in 2014, but it was just a couple hiccups on my part.
Thank you.
Mr. France.
Yes, Mr. Crockett. If I'm not mistaken, the Crab Sanctuary closed the end of May. Is that correct?
I believe it was it used to be June 1st, but I think it was May 15th that year. Is that right?
Did somebody clarify that?
I think it was May 16th.
May 16th. That's right.
That's not right.
They moved it from the May to the June 1st date, probably about 4 years ago, if I remember correctly.
I do stand corrected. That was about 4 years ago.
June 1st through September 15th.
That's correct.
I have a question for Officer Franklin. when you checked his crab pots and found them to be in the sanctuary, were any of his crab pots out of the sanctuary?
No, I was 2 miles out past that line, so
okay.
He may have had some inshore, but at that time I didn't see any of his inshore that I observed. They were all well past Rappahannock River line.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Ms. Haney.
I have a question for Officer Franklin, if you've got one more. If that did go into effect June 1st.
The effective date is June 1st.
And that would have been a Sunday, and June 2nd was Monday. So he was really one day over. I mean, but you're saying you didn't even know that you were in the sanctuary to start off?
Well, I thought he closed at May 15th. Okay. I just thought I was okay. I mean, I thought I was, like I was saying earlier, it seems like you can be up the bay or down the bay and be fine in that same area. And I just assumed that I was okay. And I was taking out my crab pots that day. I don't know if I'll remember. I had crab pots on the boat.
It was about a year and a half ago.
I could pretty much.
That was my last. Matter of fact, it was my last day there. I only had like 100 pots to get up that day.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Crockett, so have you crabbed in that area in previous years, or was that your
That was first. My first year there. Now, I have crab down to, you know, around New Pine area and Wolf Trap area where I've been okay, and that was my first year at New Pine. I mean, sorry, Windmill Point, exactly where he said. I think I was above it a little bit.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crockett.
Okay.
Mr. Cimino. The staff recommendation is based on 3 violations within a 12-year period, a 12-month period.
That's correct, Commissioner. And just to clarify some of the confusion earlier, staff had ascribed 2 of those 3 to Officer Franklin, and as he cleared up, only 1 of the 2 were.
I understand.
All right. According to the Commission's guidelines for sanctions, after 3 court adjudicated convictions of Category 3 violations, it would require a harvester to appear before the commission In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Crockett on probation for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, August 25, 2015 through August 24, 2017. Any failure on Mr. Crockett's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 2-year probation would result in Mr. Crockett appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Matters before the commission, you've heard staff recommendation. What's your will? Mr. Erskine.
In light of some of Mr. Crockett's testimony that, you know, he had the tags on the boat and he claims he was in the area, area two, I guess, it is important to tag those oysters. I think you understand that prior to leaving that area. Otherwise, Marine Police don't know exactly where the oysters were harvested from. You may have been new to the crab sanctuary area, and it was close to the time, you know, that it was going into a sanctuary on June 2nd. I'd support staff recommendation for a 2-year probation. Got to make that in the form of a motion.
It's a motion by Mr. Erskine to accept staff recommendation for a 2-year probation. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Haney. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes. Mr. Crockett, you got 2 years of probation. Dot your I's, cross your T's, everything by the book, and you're good to go. And we don't want to see you back here like this. Thank you. Mr. Darren Crow. Mr. Darren Crow in the room. Officer Holliday, will you do me a favor? Would you go out into the hallway and yell for Mr. Darren Crow? Thank you, sir. Apparently, Mr. Darren Crow is not here. He has been summoned to appear here. The summons was delivered. Personal service letter dated August 3rd of 2015. Well, we have a couple of choices in the matter. We could hear this in his absence, or we could suspend his licenses until he appears. Mr. Zedrin.
I move we suspend his licenses until he appears.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Zedrin, second by Mr. Erskine. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye as well. Any noes? Motion passes unanimously. Mr. Crow's licenses are suspended until he appears. Mr. David Mosher. Is David Mosher in the room?
This is a carryover from last month. I'll give a brief. This is another item without any offender without any commercial licenses. And he was convicted on February 24th, 2015 for harvesting oysters during a closed season.
Officer Holliday, did I swear you in?
Yes, sir.
Let's do that now, then. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
Steve Holliday.
What can you tell us about this, officer?
This offense occurred on January 8th of this year at 5:15 in the evening. I was on patrol in Goslin Hope Park in Hampton.
observed a pickup truck leaving the shoreline area of the park. It had a 5-gallon bucket of oysters in the bed. I stopped the vehicle and spoke with the operator and the passenger. The passenger was Mr. Mosher, and he advised that the oysters were his and that he had harvested them from the shoreline. I did advise him that there was no open harvest season in the back river, and I did charge him. Actually, I need to correct the code that you guys have on there. It should be 720-40, which is harvest oysters during a closed season. He advised that they were for personal use and that there was no signs. Mr. Mosher was tried in his absence in Hampton General District Court on February 24th of this year. He was found guilty. His fine was assessed at $90 fine with a $76 court cost. I checked this morning, and as of this morning, the fine and cost had not been paid.
Any questions of Officer Holliday from the commission? My question is, what was his demeanor like?
He's very cooperative. Okay.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Mosher. Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
David Mosher.
Mr. Mosher, sorry about mispronouncing your name. What happened here, and why did it happen?
I went down to Inagamahoe Park, picked up a mess of oysters to eat. There's no signs in the creek. They're dredging oysters in Back River every day. I got about 3/4 of a bucket full of oysters to take home to eat, and an officer stopped me and wrote me a ticket for possession of polluted oysters.
Are you a commercial waterman?
Yes, sir.
What fishery are you in?
Scallop, flounder fish, oyster. I've done just about all you can do.
Were there other people with you that day?
Yeah, I had my girlfriend with me.
Questions from the commission?
Yes, I have a question.
Mr. Tankard.
So you're stating that you saw no sign at all?
No signs in that creek, period. If you go down there today, there ain't a sign in that creek nowhere. Now, if you come from offshore, inshore, I believe there may be some layout down toward Langerfield Air Force Base, but there's no signs in that creek, period. The park ranger had asked me why did I get the horses off the rocks. I said, yeah, I got them off the rocks. He said, I got some last week. He said, they're good horses. And he went up the road the same time the VMRC man coming down there, he was going up the road. And he can tell you, he's going to have to tell you, the park ranger was going out, he was coming in. The park ranger had just stopped and talked to me. I sat there taking my boots off, putting them in the truck, my gloves, and everything, and talked to the park ranger. Me and my girlfriend were going out because it get close to sunset. I had about 3/4 of a bucket of oysters in there. That's when he stopped and gave me the ticket, and they made me dump the oysters out.
Mm-hmm. You grew up in this area?
I've been born and raised, yes, I have.
So you didn't know it was closed?
I picked the oysters up there my whole life. It had never been closed that I know of. It's closed on up the back river way toward Langerfield Air Force Base, Kmart Creek, and all that's closed. But from where I was at, it's not closed. There's not a sign nowhere in there. The only signs I see in there, you got to have a license for the good duck hunting in there. Stand on my bait, the Magnator bird sign. I don't know. You don't eat birds no way.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Could I ask the officer how he knew it was closed?
There is no open
Officer Holliday, I'm sorry. Please approach the podium.
There is no open oyster harvest season in the back river at all.
Not at all.
They harvest the oysters there every day.
It's private
bond. That don't make no difference. It's not. How can it be polluted? Because I own this, it's not polluted. If I come down here, it is.
Mr. Mosher.
Charges during closed season.
I got caught these in January.
I understand that there's no open season for oysters in the back room.
There is an open.
Mr. Mosher, hold on, Mr. Mosher. I'm not going to have you arguing with the officer. Please address the commission.
They harvest oysters in back river. Every day. They dredge oysters. You got Tony Martin in there. You got Jimmy Martin in there. They got back, but Bill Forrest got ground up in there. Back river is open. How can they dredge oysters in the river, but you go along, you park your car somewhere and go out and get your half a bucket of oysters? You're in violation. But you can sit there and watch the boats harvest oysters there every day. They harvest oysters clear up to Langerfield, where the signs on the shore start before you even get to Langerfield.
Mr. Tankard,
So I just want to make sure I've got this right. So it was not for like the Tangier case. This is harvesting out of season, period, not health condemnation, correct?
There were two charges originally. Gosnell Hope Park is bordered by Harris Creek, and it's bordered by the Bath River. When I initially had him, I thought that he had been in the polluted area of Harris Creek. He is not. The issue was summons for polluted oysters. I null process when I realized that he was in the clean area.
Okay.
But what he's saying is that the Back River itself, from the mouth at Factory Point, is a closed season to the public harvest of oyster. It has unassigned ground and it has private leases. That's all that's in the Back River.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Smino. The staff recommendation.
Commissioner, as I noted and as you have in your evaluation packets, Mr. Mosher doesn't have any current commercial licenses, but
I have a warning.
Well, we haven't had one purchased since 2011. So,
but I had failed on it. I had to put it in. It's inactive.
Mr. Mosher, will you please let him address the commission? Thank you, sir.
But with that, staff's recommendation would be, and this is per the guidelines for sanctions, that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia. Staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Mosher's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, August 25, 2015, through August 24, 2016. Staff also recommends the commission revoke Mr. Mosher's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, August 25, 2015, through August 24, 2016.
Now you get a chance to tell the commission what you think.
I don't think it's very fair because I don't have no prior convictions to start with. I was down there, picked up about not even a bushel, a half a bushel of oysters. A 5 gallon bucket is a half a bushel. I had one that was half full. You know, I don't see why I violated any law. There should have been some signs there where I could row down there and see. Not polluted oysters, you can't pick them up. I wouldn't pick them up. I'd have went on out the river with a pair of tongs and caught some. It's no.
Let's,
I just don't see it as very fair to take a license from a man for a year for picking up oysters where it's no polluted sign and you're allowed a bushel in your possession anyway.
Mr. Mosher, let's keep this clear. This is not a matter of you taking oysters from a condemned area. That charge was dropped by the officer when he realized his mistake.
Right.
This is a matter of harvesting oysters when there is no public oyster season. That the only oystering out there is for people that have leased the water bottoms for the purposes of propagating oysters. That's where we're at. So now it's before the commission. Mr. Zetron.
I don't know what I'm hearing sitting right here is the same story over and over again is the people who've grown up on the water, they don't care. Is that, you know, this is their oysters, and they've been doing it all their life, and they're not going to change. And, I mean, that's what I'm hearing. I don't know what you guys are hearing, but somehow, even though I'm sympathetic with him about that, we got to get the message out there somewhere. I don't know if we have to have an education class for the fishermen or whatever, but I'm hearing the same thing. Over and over and over again, you know. I just didn't know, and we did it all our life, and so, you know, I think we need to send a message out there.
Please continue, Mr. Cedar.
That's all.
Anyone else, Mr. Erskine?
Mr. Mosher, do you currently dredge oysters?
Yeah.
On public or private ground?
Not right.
When was the last time you did?
Probably right up to the end of the season last year. I guess it was in October, whatever in the season.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Tackett.
So let me get this straight. So you're not a commercial harvester?
No.
You don't make your living on the water?
Not at the moment. I make my living on the water. I work the ocean and the bay.
Yes, sir. But at this moment, you are not a oysterman?
No, I'm not a oysterman at this moment.
Okay. All right. And so you didn't realize Back Bay was, in fact, closed, is what I'm hearing?
No, I didn't know. I mean, just a half a bucket of oysters. I just figured I'd get something to eat. It's like I say, the park ranger came down there and said, that's easy to eat. So I just got me some, I mean, if the Gallimahoe Park, if it's closed down there, then the Gallimahoe Park, they ought to have signs condemned there. But it's a turnaround. People go down there, they fish every day. They go down there to pick up oysters every day, to pick up clams every day down there. You know, if the place is closed, put it out there where we can see it's closed, whether we're watermen or not. Things change every day. People pull signs up. I've seen it done myself. But then you got somebody goes down there, there's no signs there. You know, they ought to take the time to go around these creeks and the contributors to the Back River and everything else and maintain them signs and put there and maintain that they are there.
Again, Mr. Mosher, this is not about a condemned area. This is about the fact that the public oyster season was not open.
Well, what is
this has nothing to do with science.
That's something I don't understand. What is the difference in a condemned area and a closed area? A condemned area is closed.
Mr. Mosher, condemned too. I'm sorry. I thought this has been explained a few times. You were charged and convicted.
I don't understand what you're saying.
You were charged and convicted of taking oysters during a closed season. Anything to do with condemned oysters, that charge was dropped. Gotcha? You get it?
I was picking oysters up in open season. I was called in January.
There's no open season for public oyster harvests in Back River. They're all privately leased grounds or unassigned grounds. Mr. Tackett.
Move to approve staff recommendation. 1 year revocation.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Tackett, second by Mr. Zedra. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. Mr. Mosher, your licenses and fishing privileges in tidal waters are revoked for 1 year from today.
Can I appeal it?
Yes, you can. If you go with Officer Benassir, he'll explain your appeal right and give you a letter. Mr. Perriello.
Very brief introduction, and this case had been presented at last month's commission meeting. So. Stephen M. Perriello, commercial fisherman registration licensee, had three convictions on three separate dates in 1 year, one count of failure to have tight-fitting lid on his sanitation device. This violation is serious enough to carry a Class 1 misdemeanor. Also had one count of unculled oysters, 8 quarts, on December 16, 2014, and one count of harvesting oysters by hand scrape in a designated hand tong area on January 27, 2015.
Officers, you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Please state your names for the record.
Officer Buchholz, Marine Police.
Brandon Price, Marine Police Officer.
Gentlemen, what can you tell us?
Your Honor, on October 28th of the year 2014, I conducted an inspection on a commercial oyster vessel located in the Rappahannock River, adjacent to the county of Middlesex. Came into contact with the gentleman to my left, Mr. Stephen Perriello. During that inspection, I asked to see the sanitation device on board, which for a split second he looked around and then pointed to a 5-gallon bucket located within the cull area of the oysters. At the time, the 5-gallon bucket did not have a lid of any sort. I asked to see the lid, at which time he could not produce one. Charges were filed on November 14th in Middlesex County General District Court, and on December 15th of the same year, he actually pleaded guilty and was fined $35.
Any questions on that conviction? Thank you, officer.
Yes, sir. On December 4, 2014, approximately 10:45 a.m., I was on routine oyster inspection in the James River when I observed a gray commercial oyster vessel harvesting oysters on Thomas Rock. Upon approaching that vessel, the oysters were in baskets. I immediately observed there appeared to be undersized oysters in the baskets, at which time I boarded the vessel. I identified the captain as Mr. Perello here to my left. There was also three other individuals on the boat that day with him. While culling the oysters, one bushel of oysters, I determined there was 8 quarts of undersized oysters and shell in the bushel. Mr. Perillo, along with the other three, were issued summonses for uncalled oysters, 8 quarts. This case was tried in Newport News General District Court by Judge Mills on December 16, 2014. The defendant was present along with the other three individuals. All four individuals pled guilty to undersized, uncalled 8 quarts of oysters. They asked the judge to merge their all four convictions into one so that they would have one fine. Judge Mills agreed to that. He laid the conviction on Mr. Perillo since he was the captain on the vessel that day, assessed a fine of $500 and a court cost of $91. On December 22, 2014, approximately 8:40 in the morning, I was observing the management line separating the hand scrape and the hand tong area in the James River, at which time I observed the same gray commercial oyster vessel crossing back and forth across the management line, dredging into the hand tong or hand scrape area. I observed this approximately five times going back and forth. He was going approximately 100 foot across the line and coming back. And on the sixth time, I watched him make a complete circle around a buoy or a marker that was inside the hand tong area. At that point, I went to leeward, boarded a vessel there, went out, and upon approaching Mr. Perillo, he was still outside the management line in the hand scrape area. While speaking with him, again, he identified himself as a captain on board that day. He thought he was okay where he was at because he had seen other boats doing the same thing. He also admitted to buoy that he was working around. It was approximately 100 feet across the line. In fact, it was his buoy and that he was working around the buoy. This case was tried in Newport News General District Court by Judge Kearns on January 27, 2015. The defendant was present. After hearing the evidence, Judge Kearns found Mr. Perillo guilty and fined him $100 plus court cost of $91. Mr. Perillo was cooperative throughout the entire process on both both occasions.
Questions of Officer Price? Mr. Zedner.
Did I understand you say that this buoy that he was going around was his buoy that he placed there?
He placed that buoy there as a marker to where he was working.
Is that normal?
Yeah.
And this was in the wrong area?
That's correct.
Did you ask him why would he put his buoy in the wrong area? Did y'all pull the buoy up after he gave it to you?
I don't think we went back and pulled it up.
I don't think we did. I think we just got out of there and dumped the oysters. It was all a job.
What does the buoy look like?
It was a crab pot.
Thank you.
Any other questions of Officer Price? Thank you, Officer. Mr. Perillo, do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? You've heard the officers. You've been to court. What happened? What do you want to tell the commission?
Well, I just got my oyster license last year. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Learn from your mistakes. That's all.
Mr. Cedric.
I'm kind of baffled about how you put this buoy in the wrong spot. I mean, how'd you figure out where to put it?
Well, it was foggy that morning. I seen about three or four boats around there. And I noticed when PMC come by, everybody moved off. I didn't even know I was in an area I was not supposed to be in. I know you heard it 1,000 times.
Well, do you have a coordinates or something? I mean, how do you come to just to stick that buoy there? Or did you just pull up to the place that, well, this is what I'm asking. I mean, do you just come up to the area, throw the buoy off and let it sit, or do you have GPS coordinates? Or how did you come to put that buoy there?
We were catching oysters there. I threw it out so we wouldn't lose the spot.
Okay. I understand that.
Mr. Tackard?
So what I'm getting at with my question is, did you know the difference in the two areas and where you were using the buoy? No.
Other questions? I have a couple. How long have you been a waterman in Virginia? How long have you been a waterman in Virginia?
All my life. Have I worked the bay? No.
You offshore scout?
Yeah.
How long have you been in the oyster fishery?
1 year.
1 year. You mentioned ignorance of the law here is no excuse here. Apparently, you learned three lessons for three different violations. Is that right? Have you learned your lesson, sir?
Yeah, I've learned it. I know what to do or what not to do now.
Okay. I'll note for the record here that your culling violation was twice the tolerance limit here. Do you know why there are sanitary devices that are required on board when you're oystering?
Yeah, so you don't pollute the water. Yes.
So you don't pollute the oysters? Especially those that are going to market.
Gotcha.
Where consumers eat them, where they could get sick, where the FDA is very adamant that this be done, where the impacts on the entire oyster fishery can be pretty dramatic if somebody gets sick from a tainted oyster. It's a serious problem. Mr. Tackard.
Well, that leads me to my question is how we came up with 2 years probation. I mean, to me, this looks like more revocation. How did our staff come up with the logic of probation? I'd like to hear about that.
It does bring us to the next stage. 1 second, if there's anybody else that has a question of Mr. Perella. Mr. Cimino. The staff recommendation is?
The 2 year probation stems from really what we would have brought as a 1 year probation is, as the commissioner noted, that excess of tolerance, an 8-quart over the tolerance for uncalled oysters has been a staff recommendation of 1 year probation, and we've brought several of those cases before the commission. It was the sanitary device that where there really isn't a guideline for us or for the commission that added a second year of probation to this recommendation.
And then you had a third incident. What did that add?
Well, that's correct. It isn't something that we have off the guidelines, so this we figured this is as a first appearance before the commission. We were recommending the maximum within the probationary discretion. So.
You've heard the staff recommendation. Do you want to comment on it? Matters before the commission. Mr. Erskine.
I have a question for Mr. Periel. Do you plan to continue in the oyster fishery?
Yeah, if I could.
Thank you.
I think that matters later on in the agenda. Mr. Tackard.
Well, I guess this will I will take staff recommendation. I sincerely think he should have more. I mean, public health, again, it's a big issue, and it's a big industry issue for the industry. We want to keep the industry going. So people that aren't going to obey by public health rules, they need to be out. And I see this is serious, but I'll go with staff recommendation. Count this. It's his lucky day.
Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. France. Is there some discussion on the motion? I tell you, I agree with Mr. Tackard. Call. This is really close to a revocation offense. If this motion passes, you also should buy a lottery ticket with your colleague from Tangier because this will be your lucky day. The motion and the second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. It's a two-year probationary period. Dot your I's, cross your T's, get your harvest reports in on time, make sure that you abide by all the regulations, and you're good to go. If not, we'll see you back here, and I got a real good guess that the outcome won't be this favorable for you. You please proceed with the officer who will give you a letter that explains your appeal rights.
Thank you.